Well done. And I will encourage you to continue the conversations afterwards, by the way. Hopefully you've made time in your schedule to go downstairs. So downstairs has been decorated out, and we have cake, we have some other things, places to take pictures. So after the service, make sure that you can take some time to go downstairs. Now, if you do need to go, there are some gift bags in the back, and I encourage you to grab those gift bags. Not only does it have candy in it, okay, which you're excited about, I'm sure. There's a couple other things, including a refrigerator magnet and some other things for you to take a look at. So make sure you grab one of those on your way out of this building today, either downstairs or in the back. So as you know, today is the one-year celebration, and it is, a miracle to be here together. I want to tell a little bit of the story of, just a little bit of the story of how this came to be. And so it started a long, long time ago in a land far, far away, right? All good stories start that way. Yeah. But God had been working. Okay, we'll speed it up a little bit. All right, so a couple of years ago, I was praying I was fasting and praying during a week of really seeking the Lord for the future of Mosaic Church, which I was leading at that time. And during that very week, okay, the current pastor of Temple Baptist Church gave me a call. It was on a Wednesday, right in the middle of the week, and he told me a couple things. So number one, I just let the church know that I am stepping away and stepping into a different ministry. He says, number two, would your church be open to consideration of a merger, okay? Now, that is an incredible timing, right? So you're seeking the Lord and asking him, and then you see God's sovereign hand saying, okay, this is going to happen this day during this week. So God sovereignly moves, okay? And this was his idea. So I said, okay, we will consider this. And that started a process that lasted a year, okay? And we're asking two primary questions. And all three of congregations, Pastor Key was asking the same question. The questions were, number one, the most important, God, are you in this? Okay? We're looking to discern that question because bringing congregations together is difficult because it's complicated because of histories and pasts and leadership structures and ways of doing things and theology and all of these things. And some churches, when they come together and emerge, they don't merge well, where 1 + 1 + 1 = 0, okay? And so we recognized that, and we wanted 1 + 1 + 1 = 6 or something greater. So we had to know, God, are you in this? Okay, that was the number one question. And then coupled with that is, would we indeed be better together, okay? If God, if you called us to this, we want to make sure that together we can make a greater impact for the kingdom of God in our hearts and this place and the community and in the world. And so we took a long time to think about this and pray about this and meet about this and meet about this and meet about this. They mentioned that we had some meetings, okay? We met, and during that time, boy, there are times in which it was all green lights. It's like, yeah, for sure, this is going to happen. And then there are moments in the process where it was more like a yellow light, like, yeah, I'm not so sure this is going to happen. And then there are times, and it was red lights, like, this for surely is not going to happen. And during those times, it's interesting, I remember one conversation I had with Tim Ammon, who was serving as our treasurer. He's like, I was sure that after this meeting, this would be done, right? And then all of a sudden, God broke through and did a miracle. And then he would tell me at another thing, I was sure that after this meeting, this would be over. God broke through and did a miracle. And at times in which I was most, frustrated or concerned, God reminded me through conversations Let's check this out. Missionaries, right? People who were saying, well, I'm a part of this, and David, you need to look beyond, and you need to look outside of just this merger. That God's plan was beyond this place, and time after time after time again, in my most discouraging moments, God sent a missionary. God sent someone that was a part of a greater scheme, which made me consider and think about, God, what are you saying? And says, David, I've got this, right? And this is bigger than just this. Just hang on. Okay. And so, by the grace of God, we set a time to have our first service. And it was the worst day ever to launch a church, period, right? If we had a church consultant to say, all right, what day, they would probably have said Easter Sunday or something like that. No, we're not going to pick anything easy, okay? Let's do the Sunday morning when we were in heightened restrictions because of COVID. Let's pick the Sunday morning in which there's a contentious national election the next on Tuesday. Now, let's pick the Sunday morning where we change our clocks. Let's pick that Sunday. It was like, okay. And so I think I said the first Sunday is like, if this gets pulled off, it has to be God, because we stumble over our own feet, right? And I think God set that up saying, hey, you know what? It's about me anyway. So that he would be glorified, not our great plans or whatever, eloquent whatever, that God would be glorified in this. And here we are. We've survived a year together, right? And it's more than just surviving a year together. I think we've thrived in many, many ways. Now, I remember the first service a year ago around this time. I was a little anxious, honestly, because I didn't know who would show up, right? I had no idea. I didn't know what it would be like. I didn't know if, you know, the sound stuff would work or the online stuff would work or what it would be like. And I was anxious. And this was before we started our prayer meeting. And I was in the prayer room, our beautiful prayer room, and I was praying. One of my favorite moments was before I was going to be done with that prayer time, in walks Pastor Key in his beautiful white shoes, which you have on again today. I like your shoes, Pastor Key. If you haven't seen this man's shoes, you need to look at his shoes. He can dress well. I tucked in my shirt in honor of you today, Key. I know. I'm trying to. He's like, about time, brother. Okay. And so he came in, and he just prayed over me, and he prayed in Burmese, and I was just like, I'm getting emotional right now. And that was a very powerful moment that I will never forget. He just came in, and he just prayed for me and prayed for us, and it was moving in my heart. And I remember being here. I was like, okay, we'll see if anyone shows up. And all of these people came in. It's like, oh, Lord. And more importantly, God's presence came in. I strongly felt God's presence. I remember sitting right over here, and I looked up, and the first song, and this is another favorite moment, it was Jennifer Mullen. She was over here singing, and so I was looking over, I was looking here, and here she was praising God with his tears running down her face. I remember that moment. I'm like, oh, that is a precious, precious moment. And there's been so many other precious moments. The first scripture that we ever talked about as a combined church is painted on the wall in the prayer chapel. And if you have not been in there, it's just right out here over there, blue room. I'm encourage you to go there, not just to see it. I want to encourage you to use it. It is open all the time. But on the walls are a couple of verses, and one of the verses is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it says this, now to him, that's Christ, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. That is a powerful set of verses. It is profound that it glorifies Christ and what he is doing, and he can do more, immeasurably more, than what we can even ask of him or that we're even capable of imagining. This is the God that you serve. Okay? This isn't just a verse for pastors. This just isn't a verse for churches. This is a verse for your life. God can do more than you think, even more than you can imagine. And he does this according to his power that is at work where? Thank you, within us. That God in his goodness and his grace empowers us with his spirit. That should be something that we praise God for, that he fills each and every one of us with his power to do his work within us. And he does that so he would be glorified in the church and in Christ Jesus. And I love this last line, throughout all generations, right? 140 years ago, this church started. All of those people are no longer in these pews. But God is still here. God is still working. His word is still being preached. He is still being praised, and his plan continues to go forward. And 140 years from now, none of us will be in this building either. But God will be. His word will be sovereign. His will continue to go forward. So these promises are to all generations forever and ever. And we can say amen to that. Amen to that. And amen that we have a part in his plan, right? During our time on this planet, as brief as it is, we get to participate in what he's doing. And that is an invitation that God extends to us. And so a year ago, we talked about our new day together built upon the foundation of what God has done in the past to bring us to this point. And we had a theme that talks about the three cords woven together. Remember that when we had that woven up here, the three colors? And we put that up there to represent three churches in which God is putting together. And we handed these out. And this one is in my office. I'm going to return it back to my office. It says, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. That's good news, right? He made us stronger as we minister together. And I love that God delights in weakness, because when we are weak, he is strong, right? And so he bound us and tied us together. And in our first service, we're going to announce our new name and a new logo. And I was nervous about that as well. What would people say to this, right? And we spent a lot of time thinking and praying and looking at various things. You remember that, where it was dark? And then we had our countdown of 1,000 seconds. We only had 10, right? Remember counting this down? Where's Dave Wilson? Are you in here, Dave? Dave, here's Dave Wilson. He was at that spot probably, right? And so Dave was really instrumental, along with others, of helping us with a new logo. And so he was a little anxious about this too. It was like, okay. And so we counted down, and Dave recounts that there was like a pause, like reveal, ta-da! And then nobody said anything. And then everyone was like, yay! Was like, woo-hoo, thank you, Jesus, right? And we talked about this and why we have this logo and why we have this name, right? And it's important because the cross is the point in which we are reconciled to God. The cross is the point when our sin is forgiven. The cross is the point where we receive new life. The cross is the hope of the world. And so we talked about the importance of the cross to Christianity. Cross point, where we're pointing to it. And in it, we have the four colors chosen specifically to represent what we see in Revelation from every tribe and every language and all peoples and all nations. He brings us together with different colorings and different languages and different places in which we live. And he brings us to him, transforms us through him, and then sends us out to different and various places throughout the world. It is a beautiful image of what God has done, what God is doing, and what he's going to do. We talked about our primary statement, okay? And we'll put it on a wall at some time, at some place. From Romans chapter 1, verse 5. And this is what we are called to bring about, if you remember this, the obedience of faith, that this place would be a greenhouse in which God grows us, and that we, in love and grace, give ourselves over to Christ to bring about the obedience of faith. That's what we're doing. And we do it, why? Not that this church name would be great, but for the sake of his name, right? What a beautiful name it is that we bring these things together, that his name would be glorified, to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name. And we do this where? Just in this building for an hour and a half? Let's hope not. God help us, right? We do this among all the nations. It is important for us to recognize that God is at work in the world, right? And our little space in this area comprises just a small portion of what God is doing around the globe. And so God in his goodness brings us to follow him because of our love and out of obedience, so that he would be glorified among all the world. And so that mission's heart, the missional focus of this congregation, will continue to grow and continue to expand by the grace of God, that we can, again, partner in what he's doing. And when we do so, we become more satisfied in him. So we had a new day, and we had a new name, and we talked about an eternal message that we have, that God so loves the what? World. That he gave the greatest gift, because he gave of himself, his only begotten Son, that whoever, the dark skin whomever, the light skin whoever, the tattooed whoever, the wheelchair whoever, I didn't forget about you. Those who felt forgotten, forsaken, forlorn, God's grace bridges. Whoever believes in him will not perish, even though it is pointed for us to die once. In Christ we will rise again. He is our hope. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We have an eternal message and a sacred mission. And you're a part of that. Christianity is not a spectator sport, okay? Is that something we get on the stands and watch the players on the field and root for our favorite team? No, no, no. You're the players on the field. You're the one who is running with the torch. We are the ones who have the light of the Spirit living in us, because he's the light, right? We've just said yes and fill this vessel with your goodness for your glory, so that you can shine through
in various places. Right? You're on the field right now. We have coaches. We have people that God is equipped to help us, and we've been given gifts. But it's a glorious thing that you and I and we have been recruited by the Almighty God to be a part of His family and join Him in what He's doing on this earth. And it's not always easy. We say amen, right? Not always flowers and cards, right? It looks often like praying in the middle of the night where the phone rings or the Lord wakes you up and say, hey, time to pray. It looks like showing up in some mornings where it's cold and shoveling snow. It looks like bringing cookies over or helping your neighbor push their car out. It looks like going to a hospital or going across the street, opening your heart, opening your home, being vulnerable, opening His word, and saying yes to His plan. And we have opportunity to do that. So this last year, we've been really, really busy. You probably don't know how busy we have been, okay? And when you go out, you're going to see a list. And on this list, which is very nicely put together, okay, I want you to take a look at this and see all of the things that have taken place over this last year. And it is a large list, okay? And we can thank God for these things as He continues to build His church in this place. I want you to read it and say, God, thank you for this. And then say, God, what now today will you be doing? God, what now in the future will you be doing? And God, thank you for an invitation to partner with what you're doing. And so we put together a little slideshow as well of some photos of this last year for us to look back and celebrate. So if you can cue that up, that would be great. And let's enjoy this together.
Make us one.
that was fun. And obviously we don't have pictures of everything that happened because this would be an hour and hour or two slideshow thing. So thank you, Robert, for putting that together. Dinosaurs, yes, those are fun too. So thanks for that. But it's been a good year. Grateful to God for what he's done. Really, we need to give praise to God for what he has done. And he continues to work us into his image, conform us into his likeness, and bring us together as one. So the theme, we are one, is twofold. We are one because we're 1 year old, and we're one because God is bringing us together. And as he continues to do that work, we'll continue to look forward and join together with him. So recently, as you know, we've been talking about life together, and this is the last installment of that series. So if you have a Bible, go ahead, open it up to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at two verses this morning that talk about God's end result of what he is doing. So God in his goodness has given us the church. It is built on Jesus, if you remember this. It's built on Jesus, it's built by Jesus, and it's built for Jesus. He builds his church to display his grace among us. None of us are here if it were not for God's grace, right? God reaching to us while we were sinners. Christ died for us. So we are here by God's grace, and God enjoys displaying his grace by putting us together and working in our heart. That's God's grace. So in this life together, God displays his grace. God displays his wisdom in bringing people together from different places and different backgrounds as one, bringing both Jews and Gentiles, bringing people of various places together. This was God's wisdom, and it is displayed in the church. Thirdly, God gives us the church to display his glory. The manifold wisdom of God and grace of God and goodness of God. God's goodness, by the way, God's glory is seen in God's goodness. God's glory is seen in God's goodness. So God, we ask that he would show us more of his glory by giving us more of his goodness. God has bound us together in himself. If you remember from this passage, we have one faith, we have one hope, we have one baptism, we have one God, we have one Spirit, we have one God and Father of all. What binds us together is greater than what separates us. So God in himself brings us together of ages and backgrounds, of capabilities, of education levels and location spots. He brings us together in himself. And he's given gifts to each one of us, if you remember from this passage. Every person has a gift. You are a gifted person because God has gifted you. And that together, as we each use our gifts and we listen to the cast of coaches by his Spirit, help us to equip to do what he is doing in the world. He's designed us to grow and be mature, ready to respond to him and what he is doing. Instead of being immature infants, tossed by various teachings back and forth, easily tricked by deceitful schemes. God is growing us up in him that we would be a part of Christ the head, that we would be his body. This is what he is doing. And so as we continue in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 15, we come to this first point. We grow mature as a church by speaking the truth
in love. Let's turn to this, Ephesians 4, verse 15. Now, instead of being infants, instead of being vulnerable to the winds of teaching and doctrine, not being prepared, bouncing around, instead of that image of an immature infant, we're called to grow up, and we do it by speaking the truth in love. If we will do this, we will grow. That's a guaranteed. We're talking about growing more mature. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. So we primarily grow mature as a church by speaking what is eternally true to each other. And we do this because we love one another. The most loving thing that you can do to people is to tell them the Word of God, to advise them in the counsel of God, to talk about what is true, not just to our circumstances, but what is true eternally. Amen right there, right? Amen. So our method of maturing comes through speaking and living in the Word of God. Churches and Christians who never grow beyond infancy or teenage vulnerability, churches who don't grow beyond that are ones who do not speak the Word of God. God's Word is foundational. It is powerful. It is binding. And in this book of Ephesians and in this chapter, we see this over and over and over again. So for us to be mature and for you to be mature, you have to know the Word and the Word has to know you. Thank you for that amen, right? This is why we talk about how important it is to open up the Word and allow God to open us up and interact with Him through prayer, learn from Him through His Word, be transformed in our mind so that we would grow up as individuals and we would grow up as a congregation so that when there is a new teaching, when there is a new philosophy, when there is a new thing in the culture that goes up, we're not swayed by it, but we are standing upon the Word which is solid and eternal. And we can say, this is where I stand. It's important. And we've been given the gift of the Word becoming flesh, and we've been given the gift of the Word in our language. And it impacts us, and it grows us, and it matures us. We don't necessarily need more churches, okay? We need more mature churches. And we want mature churches to be planted all throughout the world. And the only way that you are going to become mature is not changing the calendar and celebrating another birthday. The only way you become mature in Christ is through His Word. Right? When we speak the truth in love. Love is important. God is love. So God so loved the world. God is motivated by love, and we see this all throughout Scripture, and we as His people reflecting Him We are asked to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. We're asked to walk in love. We know from 1 Corinthians 13, because if we use our gifts, but we're doing it to exalt ourselves, or we're doing it out of obligation, or we do it because we're angry, or we feel like we have to, we've got a problem. Counts for nothing. So we say, God, give us your word. And God, transform our heart so that we're motivated to speak your word because of your motivation of love. Love is important. And you put these two together. If you can do the next slide, please. It's like a body, right? In the body, you go to the next slide. In the body, okay, there's bones, right? And the bones are like the truth of God. It gives us stability, that gives us structure, that gives us strength. And we need the bones in our body, because without them, we'd be a pile of goo, right? Not put together, not in the right places, not functioning as it happens. We need truth like we need bones in our body. But what if we just had a skeleton that was just bones, right? It would have strength, it would be hard, but it ain't going nowhere and ain't doing a whole lot. And it's not really fun, I imagine, to snuggle up with, right? Hard, brittle, strong, but powerless. And so just like the body, it needs structure, but it needs other tissues. It needs muscles, and it needs organs, and it needs these things to function and give it life. And joining together bone with flesh, truth with love, we have a strong and powerful body. And some churches and some people fall into two different categories, and you may see yourself in one of these two categories. Some of us are really, really strong in truth, right? But we get brittle, and we can get legalistic, and we can get hard, but we are standing for truth. Now, on the other hand, some of us are really good with love, right? But we're kind of afraid to tell the truth, and we get a little soft, and we get a little mushy. You may tend towards truth. You may tend towards love. But where God wants us to be is squarely in the middle, where we are walking like Christ walked, in truth, which is strong, and love, which is powerful. And when combined, we can move forward, just like your body. So one of the applications of today, and we are celebrating, we need to continue to celebrate, is to examine ourselves and say, God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your spirit. God, thank you for working in me. Thank you for connecting me to your family. Thank you for putting me in a church. Thank you for doing these things. And God, help me to grow. Help us to grow. And if you think about this next year, this is not growth in numbers, even though that might happen. This is growth in maturity, that we would become ready. When God says it is time to move in this direction, we'll say we're ready. Right? And when a new doctrine blows in this year, and it will, right, we'll be able to stand. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we'll grow to become, in every respect, mature body. So God, help us that way, that God's grace would be here and he would continue to mature us as we speak the truth in love. And I have to adjust where I'm at on this scale. I tend towards this way, and I know that about myself. I need to stay squarely here, and you have to evaluate where you tend, perhaps towards the truth side, really, really strong, or towards the love side, pretty, really, really strong. God, help me to walk in both of these things. A growth area for us. Second, this is the second point. Only two. We grow mature as a church, as each part does its work. Verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 4. So from him, which is Christ, the whole body, which includes you, are joined and held together by every supporting ligament. It grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Right. So what does this tell us? God's ultimate goal is that we would be responsive and responsible to him. Responsive when the head, which is Christ, says we need to go over here. We need to do this thing. We need to be quiet. Now we need to speak, just like in our bodies, right? Our body interacts when our brain tells it to do something. And so my hand is responsive to my mind, just like we are to be responsive to the mind of Christ. But also responsible. That once God tells us to do something, like my mind tells my hand can respond and be responsible. And then we all benefit from a drink of water. I'm glad my hand works. Because know what? Now my throat benefited. And now my body temperature goes down just a little. Think about that analogy. When you are responding and responsible to being part of God's body, and you say yes to him, everything grows and benefits, and everything is blessed as each part does its work. But what if my hand says, I'm tired of hanging out with you, Dave? You never wash me good enough. You smash me with a hammer. And look at my nails. They're horrible. They are kind of bad, actually. And what if it says, forget you? And what if my head's like, hey, hand, we're thirsty. This one's on vacation as well, right? And so, what if it says, yeah, I don't think so. Right? What happens? My throat suffers. What happens? I get hotter. What happens? I don't have this use of this. Problem. So it says in here that we're each a part of God's body. And as each part does its work, we grow and mature. As a church, we all benefit. And we all function as we're designed. And if we don't, we all lose. And so God tells us that we grow and mature, that we speak the truth in love, but we also do so when every part does its work. Which means we have something do. And it's important that we are doing it. I can't do your work and you can't do my work. I don't live next to the neighbor you live next to. He or she or they are your opportunity to connect. You go to different places than I go, and we all go to different places. We all have various opportunities. You never retire in the kingdom of God. Thank you, those who are over 65, right? You don't hang it up. I'm done being a Christian. I'm just going to skate into the golden gates. Phooey. Put your foot down and keep going. Come on, Ken. We heard from Ken last week. Putting his foot down. Right? We have wonderful examples in here of those folks. The great cloud of witnesses that continue to work, partnered with those who are suffering in the jungles even right now, who are giving their lives for the gospel's sake right now. So we do our part and we pray and we move and God is working and invites us into it. Amazing. And so for us to grow, there needs to be connection and involvement, and there's effort and there's sacrifice and there's focus and there's refueling and there's prayer and there is power. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. You're a part, we're a part. We have so much to be thankful for. So we're thankful this morning, right? We are celebrating a year together, and it is marvelous. I am grateful for what God has done. I'm curious to what he will do, but thankful to him for including us in his plan. We have so much to enjoy, so much to be thankful for, so much to praise him for as a congregation, as individuals. And we are to be looking forward to the goodness of God among us and his grace and his power and his love as we have opportunities to continue to do what he would have us do. And let's praise God for that. And let's join together in that. And let's trust him for that. That he will give us grace and power to fill us again. Because he, Jesus, is the author and perfecter of our faith. He continues to call us. And so I don't know what this next year holds. You do not either. But I know that God will meet us. God will meet you. And so the prayer is, God, help us to remain sensitive. Help us to speak the truth in love. God, help us to be responsible and grow us up. And thank you, God, for what you're doing. And so we're going to join together in a moment of communion where we are seeing an element that is drawing us together. And hopefully you have your communion elements. And if the ushers would come on down, that would be great. And Pastor Key, if you could come forward. Okay. And after we receive communion together, and if you're online, if you can go grab stuff as well, we haven't forgotten you. We're going to pray from Ephesians, and then we're going to go downstairs and celebrate. So Pastor Key, come on up. Aren't you grateful for this man right here? I'm not going to give it to you next.
Yeah.
Love him so much. Appreciate his love for the Lord and love for people. Pastor Key, thank you, and thank you for leading us.
Good to see you. The church gonna this is the beginning. God lead us our future step by step. What amazing things. Amen. Amen. So I would like to tell this morning the meaning of the Lord's Supper. So the meaning of the Lord's Supper. So the meaning of the Lord's Supper is rich and full. Several things are symbolized and affirm the Lord's Supper. There are 7 points. 1, church, Christ's death. 2, participate in the benefit of Christ's death. The 3, spiritual nourishment. 4, the unity of believers. 5, Christ affirmed his love for us. 6, Christ affirms that all the blessing of salvation reserved for us. The last, I affirm my faith in Christ. This morning, I would like to tell about three things. Number one, Christ's death. The book of Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 26. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, we symbolize the death of Christ because our action gives a picture of his death for us. When the bread is broken, it symbolizes the breaking of Christ's body. When the cup is poured, that symbolizes the pouring of the Christ's blood for us. This is why participating in the Lord's Supper is also a kind of proclamation. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord dead until he comes. The second, our participation in the benefit of Christ that made you, the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 26. Jesus commanded his disciple, take, eat, this is my body. As we individually reach out and take the cup of ourselves, each one of us is by that the action proclamation, I am taking the benefit of Christ's death to myself. When we do this, we give a symbol of the fact that we participate or share the benefit earned for us by Jesus' death. The third and the last thing, spiritual nourishment. The book of John, chapter 6, verses 53 to 57. Just as ordinary food nourishment are physical bodies, so the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper give nourishment to us. But they also picture the fact that there is spiritual nourishment and refreshment that Christ is given to us. So in this ceremony that Jesus instituted is in its very nature designed to reach us this. Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have to know life in you. He who eat my flesh and drink my blood and eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eat me will live because of me. Certainly, Jesus knows, speaking of the literal eating and his flesh and blood. But if he not speaking of literal eating and drinking, then he must have in my spiritual nourishment so necessary for our soul, as the both symbolize and experience in our participation, the Lord's Supper. So shall we read and our scripture version, let partake together. The book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 26. And they as were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to disciples, and said, take it, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. Let's partake together. Lord, Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord's Supper. Thank you for your opportunity to participate in communion. Lord, give us wisdom. Help us. Guide us. Teach us. Show us your way. We commit our life and we commit our communion in your mighty hand. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you all.